This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Resource Center. I'm Maya Tan. Now, the business world is abuzz with reports and studies on Generation Z, the group that comes after the millennials and who will soon populate and lead the business world. Eclipsing the millennials who have dominated the news and pop culture agenda in recent years, this new younger generation identifies as a distinctly different group in both behavior and mindset. And in the UK and US, Gen Z comprises a quarter of the population, and in the US alone, the group represents over $44 billion in annual purchasing power. The Innovation Group, the newly launched Innovation and Futurism Unit of J. Walter Thompson Intelligence, has unveiled a new report on Generation Z, who are typically those born in the mid-90s to the early 2000s. And this not only affects brands that want to sell to them, it also affects leaders who want to nurture and manage them. And any company that will interact with them needs to discover what drives them and what the hot buttons and nuances are. Rafiq Ridzwan, Associate Planning Director from JWT, is here to tell us more. Welcome.
Hi, Maya. Thank you.
So firstly, some people are confusing Gen Z with millennials. Can you help us clarify that?
Yes, Gen Z is actually a group of people between actually the mid-90s to the mid-2000s. They're basically 10 to 20-year-olds. And I would say millennials are slightly older than that. They're probably, as we really defined it, Gen Z's naughty older sibling.
That they always fight with.
Yes, exactly. I think one interesting thing about the Gen Z is that they are looking at their siblings and learning a lot from them. And therefore, they're a lot more conscious about how they behave, about the things they act and like and listen to and view online. So they're a lot more, because they have the older siblings who are millennials who kind of seem to be rebels without causes, the Gen Zs are rebels with a cause.
Hmm.
And they're a lot more purposeful. That's what we found in the survey anyway.
Well, tell me about the study and how it was conducted.
Right, it's a survey that we conducted in both the US and the UK with 12 to 19-year-olds. We talked to 1,000 people, actually. So it was a very quantitative survey, and there were interviews and also photography segments with some of the people that we selected. And in the whole report that we have, well, it's about 70 pages of analysis and brand examples across the sectors, including beauty, retail, media, technology, and education. So it's a very interesting, robust paper. It is more based and skewed towards the US and the UK. So I did do some homework before coming in here, with some input also into how that could be relevant to Malaysians.
Yeah, we'll find out more about that in a bit. But first of all, what are the general characteristics of Gen Z?
Well, there's a lot of things, actually. Gen Z, of course, as you know, they grew up with the internet. So they're always online. But what's very interesting that we found in the survey was that they're actually very wary of being online. 79% of them agreed that people their age spend too much time online, in fact.
So they agree.
They do agree, and they're very wary of it. In fact, a lot of them feel that it does affect their daily lives. Because, you know, they do have lives as normal teenagers do. They go to school, they go to, you know, extracurricular activities, maybe some tuition. Then they come home and they do their homework, then they're ready for bed. But instead of going straight to bed, they're on their iPads, and that's when their technology time is, and it's cutting into their lives. There's a great quote in the survey. Somebody from the States actually quoted, "It's 2 a.m. and I'm watching a giraffe eat a steak. How did I get here?" You know, it's really interesting.
Yeah. Any other characteristics that sort of stand out?
Yes, definitely. So technology is important, but it doesn't mean that they have to have the latest gadget. So they do feel like it's more of a facility to their lives. One thing that's really interesting that we found was that they want to have more meaning in their lives, and they feel like there has to be a strong purpose to what they are doing. There was actually a Malaysian National Youth Survey that surveyed teenagers, and about 60% of them wanted to contribute to the communities. And that's what I feel is something that's really growing in Malaysia at the moment. I've spoken to some teenagers who actually, on their weekends, should they meet up with their friends, they hang out, but what they're doing is they're actually feeding the homeless at a soup kitchen or another higher purpose than that. So the actual mechanics behind how a teenager operates, as you probably know, is quite the same, but they feel the need to add a purpose behind it, so a greater cause.
Yeah, it all makes sense now. I have a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old, so, you know,
yeah.
Totally in the Gen Z zone.
Mm-hmm.
The 14-year-old sometimes goes, my life is so meaningless.
Yes.
I have no purpose.
Exactly.
And then you're right. On the weekends, she does get her neighborhood friends together and they're, you know, picking up rubbish from the sides of the roads.
Yeah.
And I can't recall when I was a teenager that that was something that was top of my list.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
No way.
And we were discussing, you know, internally in the office, that is exactly why, the exact reason why they're looking for a purpose is because they grew up with the older generation, millennials. What's really interesting about this generation is they're looking to their elders and they're trying to pick up and learn from that those mistakes, trying to, you know, see where the previous generation have left. So they are real problem solvers. They're also very much self-starters. So they do feel like the traditional way of, you know, the 9-to-5 day job might not be the best way to go around having a fulfilled life. And that also has related into education. They're a lot more interested in what we call STEM disciplines. So it's this generation is more interested in science, technology, engineering, and math, as opposed to the arts or graphic design or advertising probably the generation wise were more attracted to, because they know that technology is such a big part of their future and solving problems that they currently have, that these four disciplines, STEM disciplines, are really what matters at the moment.
Okay, so they don't all just want to be YouTubers.
No, they don't. Actually, in fact, when we asked them who are they interested in as their hero, Beyonce was not the top of mind, but Malala was somebody who had a purpose behind it. So fame and fortune is not what they are actually looking for, which is contrary to what we see in the mainstream media at the moment, of course.
Are there any cultural differences to take note of when it comes to Gen Z in Malaysia?
I think there are both similarities and differences. I'll point out the similarities first. The Generation Z currently, both in Malaysia and the US, have very adult worries. They worry about the economy. And in Malaysia, there was actually a study done by Inti College and SAIS, who studied 500 Malaysians, teenagers. And actually, about 55% of them are worried about not having a good job after graduating. 42% are worried about crime rates, even though they're not out there yet. 40% is actually worried about the economic outlook of Malaysia. So there are similarities there. But of course, there are slight differences in the fact that in Malaysia as a country, as a whole, I think we usually look to the US and the UK as setting the trend. I think in terms of how the actual rural youth, especially hanging on to what's happening into what the UK and the US Generation Z is happening there, it's just starting to happen here. I think there will be a slight delay into how long it takes for us to actually pick up on the actual, you know, interest in, for example, societal, economical, and especially political issues. Because in the US and the UK, they are very political at the moment. There was a case study in the UK where they opened up voting to 16 and 17-year-olds, and 80% of people in that age group
turned
actually
up to
registered
vote.
To vote.
Wow.
Exactly. And in Malaysia, that might probably take a little while.
That might take a while.
Yeah.
Also, there are very distinct cultural aspects that we have in our heritage. Mm-hmm. We're all a little bit more modest. We respect religion.
Yes.
This sort of influence might also impact the outlook, I suppose.
I think, yes, but to a certain degree, because one of the key movements in the Generation Z is this whole idea of diversity. They are not exactly a generation who will remember a white president, for example. They grew up with Obama, and the possibility of having a female president is very real in the future. So the whole idea of acceptance, accepting especially the lesbian, gay, so they have this whole thing about LGBTQ plus now at the moment. But I think diversity is definitely starting to grow in Malaysia. Acceptance, of course, you know, we are unfortunately represented by a few extremists here and there, but in general, the general public are still very accepting of diversity.
Are there any other characteristics, you know, in terms of consumer behavior that would impact businesses?
Yes, definitely. So there's a big need right now to have all the information. I think one thing that brands need to learn is to be able to share freely. Authenticism is something that is really needed in the Generation Z group, because they feel like they need to know what kind of brand they're associating with. One case study in California It was a fashion brand who actually knew their consumers as the spokesperson. So it doesn't always have to be a celebrity at the moment that you use to promote your brand. It could be somebody who is, you know, just happens to be good looking and wears your clothes. Make them the star. And that's where the rise of, you know, Instagram celebrities and of course YouTube celebrities have come into play. So fame and fortune does not actually have to come from somebody who has it all already. It can come from anywhere. And I think that's the amazing and interesting part about Generation Z, and something that brands should accept and try to embrace. Especially the fact that we were discussing about purpose. If a brand has a very authentic and genuine purpose, Generation Z will definitely be open up to them.
So who would some Gen Z icons be who are already making their mark in the world?
There are a couple of interesting ones. And in the report itself, we grouped them into two. The first is actually Zoella. I'm sure you've heard of her. She's actually coined as the online big sister or agony aunt, if you will. Somebody who started out getting famous from her beauty blogs, but now gives advice on relationships and advice on how to handle family issues, for example. Another group of celebrities or teen icons would be actually those in the video game arena, which is quite amazing. It has become a legit career now to be a professional video gamer, or they call it esports. And this is something that we found in our study that to be very, very interesting. They make a lot of money from playing computer games.
PewDiePie, he's yes, Gen Y though.
I think he's a bit more Gen Y. Yeah. Somebody who just sits down and plays games and puts it online can become famous and can become an icon nowadays. So that was interesting.
Right. I'm speaking to Rafiq Ridzwan, Associate Planning Director from J. Walter Thompson, and we're talking about managing, engaging, and interacting with Generation Z. When we come back, what are their drivers, trends with which brands are already connecting with Gen Z, and what to expect in the future on Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon, this is Resource Centre. I'm Maya Tan. I'm with Rafiq Ridzwan, Associate Planning Director of JWT, and we're talking about managing, engaging and interacting with Gen Z. So what would some of the drivers be? What are their hot buttons, you know, and what makes them tick?
Well, as mentioned before, it definitely starts with the purpose. What does this brand actually stand for, and what added value, I think, can it give to me is something that Generation Zs are looking for. They are always looking for authenticity and genuinity. And of course, in this generation, it's something that is instant at the moment. I was quite surprised to find that actually about 70% of them prefer to still shop offline. And when we dug deeper, the reason was because they wanted that immediacy. So they would do their research online and look for the things and do all the comparisons. But when they actually wanted that product, they would go offline and find it in the retail store. It's a generation where they aren't only driven by technology. They're driven by, you know, normal teenager needs, but they find ways to go around it. And I think that's where brands can really kind of fit in. It's about not just copying their language, but really innovating.
I think it's interesting that they want to go into a store because it kind of highlights two things. One is they are over the novelty of ordering things online.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Secondly, they want their human connections. And the third thing is their instant gratification needs are even greater than that of the Gen Y.
Yes.
I want to take it home now. Yes. I don't want to wait 3 days for it to come with post-laju, you know.
Definitely. I think that's something that can really resonate with the Gen Z because they grew up in that kind of environment where everything was instant, everything was exactly as they wanted. Customization, the ability to choose exactly what you want at the price point that you need it at is something that's very important. We actually work for 11 Street, which is a online shopping brand right now. And it's all about getting them to find the exact thing that they want because they're very picky. And they want things very quickly. So we need same-day delivery, and we need to be able to highly customize the products that we give them.
Sorry, you were talking about innovation and how important it was as well.
Yes. So For example, we get a lot of cases out there of brands that try to connect with Gen Z and talk in a very teenager language. The Gen Zs don't really connect to things like that because it doesn't feel authentic and it doesn't feel genuine. Mm-hmm. It's not about talking so much, but more on acting on it. So a great example was Taco Bell, which didn't really try to speak their language in the States. They actually created an app that led to a social media blackout. They came up with a hashtag only on the Taco app, for example. So they closed down their Twitter, they closed down their Facebook. They acted on just driving everybody to the app so that people could go and find their Taco Bell on the app itself. So things, innovative ideas like that with real action rather than just a message are what the Gen Zs are really looking to and trying to connect to.
So they react better when it involves some sort of action.
Action, yes, definitely. And I think that's something that we need to learn how to do a little bit better, because we are great at crafting beautiful messages and beautiful stories, but we don't really act up on the messages that we put out there.
Mm.
Another interesting thing that we found in the report was about being neutral. It's not so much about segregation anymore. So for example, Selfridges came out with a unisex shopping space where you don't separate the men and the females products, because there are other, you know, groups out there who want to feel open about shopping where they want to shop. And actually, the actual experience of Gen Z shopping together is a both a male and female experience. So they go out as couples or they go out with their groups of friends and walk through the aisles and go, oh, this is interesting, that's interesting, what do you think? And they're not just a bunch of ladies or men going out to shop at the moment. So neutrality is interesting. Another thing is using social talent versus having a script. And I think Malaysians actually are starting to do that slowly with YouTube and the rise of Vine and of course, Snapchat, right? We're actually starting to realize how to use talent for who they are and not trying to tell them to speak a certain way that the brand wants them to speak. And I think that's really important for us if we want to embrace Generation Z, is to have that openness of giving the ownership of a brand to the consumer, which is what exactly the definition of a brand is anyway. It's that relationship between the two. And I think Gen Z has really opened it up for our clients especially, because obviously we're an advertising agency, and every time we talk to clients, they get a little bit more open and brave when we tell them and when we talk to them about what Gen Zs can actually connect with versus a Gen Y or a millennial.
Are there different strategies that businesses could take across the different sectors? You talked about how the study covers beauty, retail, media, mm-hmm. technology, education, and more. Are all the approaches different?
Yes, I think the overall principle remains the same. So it's all about having that purpose, mm-hmm. being authentic, and of course, giving your Gen Z all the information that they need. But it's really interesting to see how each one manifests itself differently. So for example, in the beauty world, it's all about getting real. I think you've seen a lot of the Dove ads, for example, who it's all about, you know, real beauty. They're not really interested in perfection in the beauty world. You see how actually one of the greatest music videos that have come out, I'm a bit slow on this, but the report talked about it, is by Beyoncé. It's, again, so they don't see Beyoncé as much of a pop star, but when she came out with a video called 7-Eleven, which was all very real. It shot with a GoPro in her apartment with her bunch of friends having a good time. It got 229 million views. So something that's real, even in the beauty world, is very attractive to the Gen Z. Another example in the beauty world is Marc Jacobs, how they openly looked for a group of friends to star in their ad versus, you know, the normal catwalk or model. Another interesting manifestation is in education. So I think Gen Zers do understand the importance of education, but they don't really see it as doing the 4 years, paying, you know, $250,000 for a piece of paper. They really feel like they know what they want to be educated on. And therefore, a lot of brands, for example, Google came up with a coding language for the teenagers called Scratch. It's coding language for kids. It makes it very easy. And there are a lot of great examples if you go online to scratch.com that have really great things about kids coding. And it's, their imaginations are amazing. Another one would be, you know, Uncollege, which is, they call themselves a hackademic. So it's all about choosing the right courses that you want to get exactly the knowledge that you need.
One of the questions in my head actually was, how do they want to be educated?
Well, I think it's all about, for them, again, in the STEM disciplines, so science, technology, engineering, and math, with that they feel most interested in. It's all about active learning versus being taught from a top-down approach. And I think that is something that if we could apply to Malaysia would be very interesting. Mm-hmm. So it's not about telling them what they need to know, but really asking them to go and look for the information that they need, giving them a very rough syllable. It's almost like freedom in a framework is exactly how Gen Z has loved to operate. Freedom, but they need some kind of framework or at least some kind of guidelines to take them through that journey, give them the right information and education that they need.
So going back to the academics, how does that apply then?
It's almost the same thing. It's exactly freedom in a framework. So you get to choose the courses that you want, that you feel are most important to you at that time. And it's all about experimenting and trying things out and failing at the same time. There's a nice case study of a Gen Zer who has made it at 19 after failing twice. He started when he was 14 with a tutoring business, and he failed at that because he couldn't monetize it, because he didn't have, people were going behind his back once they were connected to tutors. Then he came out with another solution, and that failed too, and his third solution finally succeeded. So I think something like having that tenacity to keep going through is something that the Generation Z really have in their favor. In fact, we've launched a campaign for 100 plus, that talks all about tenacity and having the grit to keep going even through your failures. And even if you've succeeded, how much more can you succeed? So those are the areas that we feel that the Generation Z really connect with.
In the future, what do you see interactions with Gen Z will be like, apart from, you know, trying to reach out to them, trying to engage them and hitting their hot buttons? Any other insight on how to deal with them in future?
Yep, definitely. I think everything will become organic. You will have, and this is scary for a strategic planner to say, but you will have a plan, but it might change. You can have an end goal and you can try and, you know, the ways to get there, especially with this generation, will be organic because it's very spontaneous. The way that they behave, the way that they can change their minds quite frequently too, this generation. So we need to be able to adapt. And I think adaptability, agility is very important because they are looking for things that are spontaneous and instant. I think a great example of this is not something we've done, but Nando's, who can come up with and talks about current issues in a very interesting way and in a very Nando way in Malaysia. So that's something that we're trying to do with some of our brands at the moment, trying to be able to set up a framework where we have certain different types of content that could come up with certain different issues and certain seasons.
But in the interim, right, as the Gen Zs are growing up and coming into their own, it's kind of a mix of talking to their parents and talking to them as well.
Yes.
Yeah, how do you navigate that?
Well, it depends on which client we're actually working for, because of course a lot of them do have policies of not talking directly to teenagers. So it's all about, for example, we're working on a brand right now that I can't mention the name, and it's all about how they want to be seen as heroes to their parents. And therefore, I used a little bit of this study to show, like, this is what Generation Z are thinking about. And so it's not just to talk to the Generation Z, it's to talk to millennials and even the X and Yers. Mm. So, but in terms of connecting to Generation Z, I think we do need to have a little bit of, you know, self-policing, because we do not want to take advantage of you know, of their vulnerability, to use that word loosely. It's about having or championing a cause or purpose that I think they could connect with, and without really overselling the product, if you will.
Yeah. Well, they're smart enough to see through it anyway.
I think they will.
If you're
yes,
not authentic, you're right. They're not down with you.
Exactly.
Anything else that I've missed out on? Or?
So besides them just being a little bit more purposeful in life, one interesting thing is that they are trying to be more healthy also. Right? I think this Generation Z, a group of people who are really looking towards the future, versus their previous generation who was all about, you know, I want to have fun and I'm just going to have fun now. This generation, they actually 62% of them want to live a healthier lifestyle, right? And 67 eat healthy and they feel like eating healthy is kind of trendy. And some of the brands out there like Chipotle, who have talked about natural goodness and how they are very organic, have succeeded in this. And that's where we are trying to convince some of our brands to move towards to like the health and wellness field, because that's where we feel like there's a big opportunity. I also forgot to mention that Generation Z in Malaysia is actually the biggest segment at the moment. It's 30%.
30% of all consumers out there.
Of all consumers out there. Gen X and Gen Y is around 25%. And then you've got Generation Alpha, which is coming soon, which is at about 8% at the moment.
Generation so Alpha.
Alpha.
Yeah.
They're going back to A.
You're coming back for that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Rafiq Ridzwan, Associate Planning Director from JWT. This has been Resource Centre. I'm Maya Tan, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.